Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
The last thing I want to do is spend 4 hours just in complete agreement with Dawn and Greg on every single thing under the sun. All right, we have a lot to get to. The cut sheet's coming up at 7:45, and then a couple of stories as well. We're also going to speak with one of the college sports writers for OutKick and Fox News. His name is Trey Wallace. I actually met him many times when I was down in Nashville, and he lived in Knoxville. He's got a great piece up from OutKick.com on Donald Trump last week at the University of Alabama and the commencement speech that Nick Saban brought him up on stage for. And they're talking about trying to get together and maybe do an executive order with the name, image, and likeness in college athletics. Basically, college athletes were not able to be paid for the first bazillion years. And then in 2021, they were able to capitalize on their name, their image, and their likeness. And now it's just a wild, wild west. So how is there regulation for that? Congress is already involved. It's before judges in the courts. And he had a really interesting piece on what Trump might be able to do in conjunction with somebody like a Nick Saban, big-time power broker in the world of college athletics, and also the corruption that is the NCAA. So we'll get to that coming up at 9:30. But before that, let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:08, the great Dawn Stensland.
And good morning, Kale & Company News Live. This hour sponsored by Kitchen Magic, Tuesday, May the 6th, and we are at 64 degrees with spotty rain and some traffic delays and accidents, about half a dozen across the region, so be safe as you make your way in this morning. So as we look at what's going on, I'll take you to something that began in Philadelphia. This is looking into the reason why the air traffic control went dark. This is terrifying. For at least 90 seconds at a New York area, North Jersey area airport, and how it caused that huge, the huge delays that we saw late last week. So we're learning more about this, and there is a huge Philadelphia connection. So in this one, air traffic controllers, they are responsible for overseeing the airspace in and out of, we're talking about Newark Liberty International Airport. They lost communication. In other words, everything went black, went dark. Nothing. If you can even imagine this, terrifying. With aircraft, this happened late last week in this outage that then prompted massive delays. There were more than 1,500 delays in the New Jersey airport last week. And then, of course, there was the ripple effect, if you will, throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
So these huge delays come amid the Trump administration, the current administration, working to overhaul the U.S. aviation industry. And the president, we know, we've heard a lot about blaming some DEI policies for some of the recent flight disasters. That has been going on, investigations. But apparently this even goes back to perhaps COVID, the pandemic. So they're looking into all of this. But we'll take you to the air traffic controllers in Philadelphia, April 28th. Now, a lot of people don't realize that at some point, we in Philadelphia, our air traffic control became the hub responsible for directing aircraft, for example, at Newark. And so it began in Philadelphia physically when this 90-second blackout happened. They're now saying it was due to a burnt wire.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a physical issue going on here. So they lose radar. They lose all, everything goes out, and they're unable to see, hear, or even talk to anybody, you know, in the air, obviously. This according to the National Air Traffic Controllers Association. So at this point, you can only imagine you're the air traffic controller in the tower, a very traumatic event. And so we're hearing different stories about what happened. We also know that United's CEO, Scott Kirby, he has put out explanations and he has spoken out about this. He says, number one, they're cutting 35 flights from the daily schedule to avoid future disruptions at its major hub in North Jersey, in Newark Liberty. This is CEO Scott Kirby. He said that the technology issues were compounded by more than 20% of those FAA controllers walking off the job. Now, the union is pushing back and saying, wait a minute, they didn't walk off the job. Under the Federal Employees Compensation Act, which covers all federal employees, if you're physically injured or experience a traumatic event on the job, you can put in for time off for a leave. Mm. They did that.
Yep.
But we're learning the Philadelphia hub connection to what happened. We didn't think that it was related. It is directly related. And if you're getting a flight out of there, you're going to see a cutback. I know that Sean Duffy, Transportation Secretary, Buttigieg's replacement, obviously, you know, he's going to be in this area, I believe, this week. So I just wanted to put that in the Philadelphia perspective.
I've got this story here from the New York Post. One of these federal air safety employees told NBC News correspondent Tom Costello, quote, "It is not safe. It is not a safe situation right now for the flying public." Really an incredible statement, unsolicited. He just said that to me and separately, quote, "Don't fly into Newark. Avoid Newark at all costs." That is amazing. Which, by the way, they had 49 million travelers go in and out of that airport last year, 2024.
By the way, Sean Duffy was on Laura Ingraham last night. I was going to play some of it for the cut sheet, but I'll play some of it now, just a taste, since you brought it up, Dawn. This is 26. Go.
But how close were we for disaster there?
No, listen, we have backups in place. But let's talk about what happened. So we have really old infrastructure in America. It hasn't been updated in the last 30, 40 years. This should have been dealt with in the last administration. They did nothing. So the primary communication line went down. The backup line didn't fire. And so for 30 seconds, we lost contact with air traffic.
That's a big problem.
It is. Now, were planes going to crash? No, they have communication devices. They can see other air traffic like GPS in the airplanes. But it's a sign that we have a frail system in place, and it has to be fixed. So there's delays now at Newark. Well, if you're driving down the road at 70 miles an hour and you get white paint in your windshield, you slow down. So we've slowed the traffic down at Newark. There's a runway that's under construction, and our primary goal is to make sure people are safe. And so when you have an incident like this, both lines now work, Laura, but when you have an incident like this, you want to make sure that people are safe. And so you just have less departures out of the airport until we feel comfortable and safe that the system isn't going to go down again.
Jeez, it's hard to believe that's happening in the United States of America in 2025.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I think they're all over it, and hopefully they will fix it, but I think it sounds like it goes back years. They're mm-hmm. offering, I think, a starting air traffic controller makes 120 G's a year, and then they're offering at least $5,000 bonuses to come on the job. That's starting out of the box, so they need to hire high-quality people.
Stocker sent us this story last night about Newark as far as the airport chaos. It's actually been made worse by air traffic controllers because they took a 45-day trauma leave after their failures to, quote, cope with the stress of equipment failures.
Under the federal employee, the union has spoken, under the Federal Employees Compensation Act. So this covers all federal employees. If you are physically injured, which I can see, but in this one, if you experience a traumatic event on the job, so they're saying that this 90 seconds of going dark, that they were panicked and freaked out and it caused trauma. And so under this Federal Employees Compensation Act, 20% of those FAA controllers took the, I don't know if they all took the full 45 days, but you can imagine 20% of a workforce, activating that compensation act.
Well, my microphone went dark yesterday to start the show for 90 seconds. That was traumatic.
Nick Hale had a traumatic event yesterday.
I'm going to ask Cynthia Lucas, do I get 45 days trauma? I'll see you guys 4th of July. I'll be back for Trump's birthday.
Our lovely HR woman.
Yes.
Yes, we love Cynthia. Oh, my goodness. So, I don't know. That one's going on, and we will watch it, but it was a wire. It was a wire that burnt out. So there you have it. Just a headline, because we've talked a lot about the ADL, anti-Semitism. We've talked about the Barstool Sports, that situation, and Dave Portnoy dealing with a really ugly, hateful, slur that happened at his business. He shut down his business temporarily and was trying to deal with it. And we do have one of those Temple students suspended from school. But I know that at Haverford, their president, there are congressional hearings that continue. And one of the headlines this morning, as a matter of fact, in the Philadelphia Inquirer, the Haverford president has apologized to members of the Jewish community, to Jewish students at Haverford, as well as a Jewish professor who, filed a lawsuit, was really going through hell by all accounts. And so Haverford President Wendy Raymond speaking out and saying, I am sorry my actions and my leadership let you down. She is scheduled to testify at a congressional committee, and that's upcoming tomorrow.
Yeah, I think we're going to start seeing even, I know it started yesterday, Trump officially halted all funding to Harvard. I think that's what he's going to have to do. If we're going to get these college campuses under control and we don't have to deal with presidents and vice presidents and chancellors and deans coming out saying, I'm sorry, I failed, my apologies. Just strip funding from every one of these schools, every single bit, any dollar that goes to any of these schools, they'll change their tune real quickly. They like their endowments. They've got their endowments, but they love federal funding. Hit them where it hurts.
And so that, you know, another headline, Trump administration is now saying Harvard will receive no new grants. Another headline, just to update you from what Greg and Nick were talking about earlier this morning, we do have dozens of these protesters arrested. This is the West Coast. After they actually took over a University of Washington building, they were covering their faces. They were trying to stack up the furniture and basically were holed up in this building, an academic building at the University of Washington, demanding the schools sever ties with Boeing as the war in Gaza, they call it the war in Gaza, continues. And so now you have at least 25 people under arrest for doing that takeover. So we have that going on. And then I'll just point out to you just a reminder that we turn to looking at what happens in Vatican City as the papal conclave to elect the next pope is set to begin. So this will be the 267th pope. And so this morning they begin to start the congregation, 170 cardinals from around the world, Vatican City, as this follows the death of Pope Francis.
Any gut feeling as to whether or not we'll get more of a conservative, traditional pope this time around, as opposed to the last one that was more liberal?
You know, it's a great question. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea what they're going to do. I would say if you haven't seen the movie Conclave, the ending is like one of those surprise endings, but the movie Conclave actually explains what they go through as far as it's a whole process.
Okay.
And then they, you know, put the smoke up through the chimney, and that's why you saw those memes yesterday. They had like orange smoke that the next pope would be Trump. You know, like people were just trying to be funny.
I'm still amazed that both sides are triggered by that.
Jackie Heinrich went after Trump yesterday. Did you guys see that?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I give her credit. She's willing to ask a question that doesn't necessarily jive with a bulk of the consumers of Fox News.
Do you have this, Phil? Let's cut five since we're talking about it.
Some Catholics were not so happy about the image of you looking like the Pope.
Oh, I see. You mean they can't take a joke? You don't mean the Catholics. You mean the fake news media. Not the Catholics loved it. I had nothing to do with it. Somebody made up a picture of me dressed like the Pope, and they put it out on the Internet. That's not me that did it. I have no idea where it came from. Maybe it was AI, but I know nothing about it. I just saw it last evening. Actually, my wife thought it was cute. She said, isn't that nice?
My question about
actually,
it.
Actually, I would not be able to be married, though. That would be a lot. I'd have to, the best of my knowledge.
Gotta hate Roger Goodell.
Getting married.
Did you notice that?
Not that we know of, no. No, I think it's a fake news media that, divorced. You know, they're fakers.
My question, though, sir, was about the fact that it was put out on the White House account. Even though it was AI generated, it was a joke, it was a meme. Does it at all diminish the substance of the official White House account to have it go out on that particular channel?
Give me a break. It was just somebody did it in fun. It's fine. Have to have a little fun, don't you?
Yeah, by the way, Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL there on the left, you'll find out why he was there later coming up in the cut sheet. But like, yeah, I mean, I understand why Jackie Heinrich is asking the question, because I saw it on Saturday. I saw on X that there were Trump supporters that are religious that thought it was in, quote, poor taste. I'm paraphrasing. But I agree with Trump from the standpoint of it's a joke. It's a GIF. It's an AI. It's a Photoshop. It's a meme. Yeah, relax. It's all fun and good. That's what half of social media is. It's not real life. But I understand Jackie Heinrich asking the question. I kind of applaud that.
Yeah, I mean, she asked a legitimate question, and she was professional about it. And I'm glad. So a couple of things. He can't help himself, Kenny, that he says, my wife liked it, but I guess I wouldn't, you know, be like... So he kind of has that moment.
Because he's broken every seven deadly sin there is.
I couldn't be a pope. I could not give up interaction with females. I don't know how the Catholic Church does that. I know it's a long-winded conversation. Now's not the time for it. Kudos to them, because I would not give up sex with women for the Catholic Church. But that's just me.
Sex with women. How about sex with your wife?
Well, that's what I meant. Jeez, what are we splitting hairs here?
Yeah. There you go.
Do we have to battle? You and I want to go head to head now?
No.
Stensland and I have already battled it out. Let's go.
Oh, sweetie, let's go, buddy.
Oh my goodness.
We'll do that next week when we have a segment to fill.
By the way, Rite Aid again seeking bankruptcy protection. So that's a business headline this morning.
Rite Aids are just like they're. I know. You go in there, they're so depressing. Because the only time I ever go into a Rite Aid is when CVS doesn't have what I need.
I know.
And you go into Rite Aid, there's like one person there. The shelves are barely full.
Hard to believe they're still around.
Yeah,
unbelievable. I thought Walgreens would put everybody out of business.
Yep.
And the Fed meeting today, according to the Federal Reserve Board, that meeting is today and concludes tomorrow. But the Fed is expected to... It sounds like they're just going to put a pause on interest rate adjustments. They're not expected to actually change anything as far as interest rates or any of that. But they are meeting today and tomorrow. So just a headline for you. We are sponsored this morning by Kitchen Magic. Looking to remodel your kitchen? At Kitchen Magic, their products are made right here in Pennsylvania in Nazareth, PA. So you don't have to think about any tariff delays that are in the headlines. Why? Because anything made in the USA, of course, does not have a tariff. So they're family-owned, 100% American-made. And this May, this month, save up to 30% off. 30%? What are you waiting for? Visit them, kitchenmagic.com, kitchenmagic.com today. Thank you, Kitchen Magic, for sponsoring us on this. It's not a pretty morning. I think tomorrow, Nick Cale, is going to be beautiful, but we have to get through today for the forecast.
That is correct. Philly weather currently 64 degrees. The rain has dried up. Still cloudy out there, going up to about 74 this afternoon for your high. A 70% chance of some storms throughout the afternoon, and then tonight it'll dip down to 58 degrees. Philly weather brought to you by MTRuhl.com, your Generac generator experts. That's MTRuhl.com. MT Rule, thank you for sponsoring Kale and Company News Live with the weather. And we'll continue on the other side. Right-wing media is now landing investors and staffing up as corporate America gets on the bandwagon. It's Kale and Company, back after this.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
I saw this story yesterday from Axios, and this is fascinating. And I actually think Zioli's going to be talking about this tonight. I would assume, can't guarantee, but I would assume, because one of the topics that Rich has volunteered for or was assigned was destroying the opposition. Tonight at Politics and Pints, I'll be talking about Doge. Dawn's going to be talking, I believe, about MAHA and education reform. Dom's got the economy and the border. Rich has destroying the opposition. We all have different categories of Trump 47 that we'll be talking about tonight. And I would think that Rich is going to get into, in regards to destroying the opposition, not only the Democrat Party, not only some of the institutions in this country, but also legacy mainstream media. And Axios has this story with the headline, Right-Wing Media is Landing Investors and Staffing Up. And I would say this, and I'm going to go through some of these other companies out there that do something similar to what we do. I don't really care about them, but here's the one thing I do think. When you're in this line of work, it's actually good that everybody is succeeding because there's more and more demand for this type of content. Ultimately, all I care about is the ratings that we get here from 6A to midnight, and then, of course, you know, what we do revenue-wise. And now, I really do believe now is the time. If you are a business out there and you have been contemplating advertising with 1210 WPHT, now is the time to do it, because what we do, what we provide, is not only more popular than ever, it won the popular vote. It's not taboo. It's not the minority. It was the majority. So they say in this story from Axios, MAGA Media is seizing on its new influence in Washington, staffing up enjoying unprecedented access to power and making market splashes. They say why it matters. Corporate America has typically shunned right-wing media, but expanded exposure to Washington's power brokers is helping MAGA outlets and personalities establish themselves as key media players. These outlets are landing bigger advertising deals and distribution contracts and developing stronger talent networks, and investors are taking notice. Now, I didn't even notice this, and I didn't even know this. Fox Corporation acquired in February Red Seat Ventures, which is the production company that manages the Megyn Kelly and Tucker Carlson independent broadcast platforms, which served as an early market signal of the commercial power of pro-Trump voices with digital platforms. They go on to write that Fox News, which has a straight news daytime operation and more overtly conservative programming in primetime, just raked in 160-plus new advertisers between November of 2024, so right around the election or thereafter, and April of 2025. That according to iSpot data, which is provided to Axios. A Fox spokesperson says there has been at least 200 new advertisers since the election. Beyond Fox News, the Daily Wire's valuation now tops $1 billion, according to Axios, and that was reported in December. Rumble and Newsmax, you've probably heard some of the Newsmax commercials on our station lately, they are each publicly trading at values exceeding $2 billion, despite just earning $30 million and $171 million, respectively, in revenue last year. Trump's Truth Social, the parent company, currently valued at more than $5 billion on the public market, despite earning $3.5 million in revenue in 2024. They also say that Tucker Carlson in 2023 was able to raise $15 million to grow his media company. They go on to talk about townhall.com, perhaps a site you guys read and look at. X, The Washington Reporter, Breitbart, and Elon Musk purchasing X. And they say, this has forced entrepreneurial creators out into the media wilderness after establishment legacy media shunned them and downsized. Now you have individuals honing their skills in a sink or swim based on talent, content distribution, marketplace. Real talent rises to the top and builds a massive, durable audience, increases size and influence. I got to say, this is, I think, really encouraging, whether or not we compete against each other. If Dawn, if Greg, if Dom, if Rich, if we're battling between us and another station, us in a podcast, us and Joe Rogan, us in Outkick, us in the Daily Wire, Matt Walsh, Ben Shapiro, whoever it might be, it's great that there's competition and we want to beat all of them, but I actually think it's great that the industry itself, right of center, is thriving, because if mainstream media can get content and get advertisers with diminishing audiences, in a day and age where Trump and Republicans won the popular vote, I would not be surprised to see more legacy corporations be willing to go out on a limb, and I don't think it's really going out on a limb, but it's been painted and portrayed that way, that they should do it because they're going to reach massive amounts of people. And I don't know, I've never understood why you would want to shun half of your customer base, right? Like, if you're in the entertainment industry, you shouldn't be bad-mouthing Republicans. Republicans go to movie theaters. Republicans buy Netflix. Republicans download Peacock, things like that. Dawn, I'm going to get your thoughts. Do you think that this is a short-lived trend in light of Trump's popularity a third time around? Or do you think that this is maybe the beginning of something where right-wing media will be viewed in the same stratosphere from an advertiser-friendly standpoint as dying legacy media?
Yeah, I think what we're witnessing in real time is the evolution of media in America. And so this goes right along, not just with Trump, but with technology. So way back in the day, think about the first televised presidential debate with Kennedy Nixon. You know, you go through and you think about television news. Before that, it was radio. But I think that's a good example. If I were, you know, teaching, and I have done this as an adjunct professor. So if you said, who won that debate back in the day? Those who listened to the debate during that first televised debate thought Nixon won because they listened. The viewers who saw it on TV, because you had Kennedy good looking, not sweating, looking, you know, dapper and knew how to wear a dark suit against the background, etc. Anybody viewing it on TV thought Kennedy won that debate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you think about the evolution of an entire industry. And then even during the, what was it, the 80s, early 90s, the Clinton years, thinking about the war on drugs, the war on crime, and how we portray different individuals. You can go, if it bleeds, it leads. And so this is the evolution of journalism, of media, and of technology happening all at once. It's not just Trump, but I think, as with all things, Trump tends to supersize or energize anything that's going on in society.
Yeah, and it's not only just broadcast media. It's mm-hmm. citizen journalism as well. Yep. You know, whether it's somebody locally in Bucks County, like a Meg Brock, or somebody maybe that has left legacy media, Michael Schellenberger, you know, all of those guys from the Twitter files that released all of the data and information that was being suppressed by the government when they were strong-arming Meta and the previous owner of Twitter, Jack Dorsey. You've seen sports broadcasters come over to News Talk. Myself included. You've seen people go from working in a traditional legacy media perspective or even talk radio and say, you know what? I have such a following. I have such a massive brand. I'm just going to go to Rumble and I'm just going to be in 100% control of my content, of my advertisers. You've seen people take their show to YouTube and I've noticed the difference. I mean, think about this. Michelle Obama's podcast has tanked, has not caught on. Don Lemon, he didn't even do a show on X. Now he's doing a show, you know, from his house on YouTube. I have no idea what the numbers are. I can't imagine they're great. I would only imagine it's going to be a matter of time before Joy Reid starts doing this. But the people that have left that are right of center are the ones that have survived and thrived, which is why I go back to the argument I've made. When these mainstream media left of center people lose those big paying gigs, I don't think they'll ever see remotely close to that salary again. You think Don Lemon's ever going to receive a $3 million a year contract again, unless for some reason News Nation would hire him? But according to Chris Cuomo, they were never friends to begin with. So good luck getting in there. I just don't see it happening. And I think this is an awakening where people are looking at also the style. Like Joe Rogan, I think it's boring as hell. But it's loose. It's like 2 hours of a guy just sitting around drinking a Bud Light, getting high and having a conversation with almost no direction. I'd like to think he puts some work into where he's going with the conversation, but it's not so scripted and manufactured and contrived.
He listens.
Yeah, and he listens, right? He doesn't talk a ton in that thing.
He doesn't. He asks good questions, but he listens. He lets it breathe. And so what you get is the context.
Yeah.
And that's something that is missing from the highly edited, fast-paced design of, let's say, TV news, the soundbite society.
Well, yeah. People want to hear conversations. They don't want to hear mm-hmm. people, scripted people preaching to them.
Yeah.
And by the way, that goes for this format as well.
Yeah.
If you notice, the shows now are evolving into more conversational shows. It's because people just don't want to be preached to. They want to make up their own decision. They want to hear a bunch of relatively smart people have discussions on things that they're interested in, and they can make up their own mind. So yeah. I think that's more the reason why these podcasts and stuff, Theo Vaughn and all these guys, like, mm-hmm. there's no secret sauce to what they're doing.
No.
Trust me, I study all this stuff. I listen to all of it. I watch all of it to kind of better what we do. And there's no secret sauce to it. It's just the curiosity factor. It's just the conversation. It's the loose nature of it. And it's people talking like they do.
Yeah.
It's not somebody saying, look, tonight on Action News, we have this, and did you hear this?
Mm-hmm.
People are just, they're tuned out with stuff like that. They don't want to be preached to. And getting back to what you were saying about advertising, like, it's never been a better time than right now. Trust me. I've been here 20 years. I've been here some lean years where there were advertisers that were like, nope, not advertising on that station. Nope, not advertising on that station. You know what I mean? Like, there was a do not playlist, you know, for certain shows here that advertisers did not want to be associated with such shows. And now you have Wawa, you have Rita's, you have Staples, you have Piazza Auto Group. You have all these big brands that want to be associated with what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So that I think shows me at least that the tide is shifting, that they realize that they don't want to alienate this audience because we reach a lot of people, and because, you know, there's a lot of people listening, they want that audience as well. Yeah. Because the 1210 audience, the people on the YouTube chat, are going to go out and say, hey, I heard about you on 1210. That means a lot to advertisers.
Right. And I also think, too, it's the authenticity of the conversations that we have. We have no idea, myself, Dawn, Greg, what somebody's opinion will be specifically on a said story or a said topic that we're going to talk about on our show sheet. And then also the flaws. I mean, I'm a guy, I'm 41. I have a college degree. I went to law school I still can't figure out when to use run versus ran. And I know it's a running joke on the show, but I think that level of humility and showing that you're just like the common folk that's listening to the show.
Yeah, the common folk can figure out run versus ran.
They can. But that resonates with the audience, that you have, like, you show your vulnerabilities, yep, and you're not this contrived. And Dawn, this is no disrespect to the television industry, but, like, you know, the David Muirs of the world with my perfect hair and my tailored suit, and I never grammatically slip up. Like, that's great if that's the kind of line of work you want to go into, but you're just talking into a camera. It feels like a one-way street. I feel like what we do specifically on this show, because there's three voices, you know, Dawn, it's mostly you from 10 to noon, Dom, mostly him with, you know, a little bit of Dan, Rich, mostly him with a little bit of Henry or DeSantis. You know, it's three different voices. It's not just one voice over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And I think people like the joint therapy sessions, so to speak, where we're all kind of attacking it from a different angle and kind of creating, oh, okay, that's an interesting perspective. As opposed to, and I'm not saying that you, Dom, or Rich, you know, lecture, but I've done the solo radio thing for many years. And at times, even in my own role, I'm like, God, this is exhausting. I feel like I'm just like I'm giving a dissertation on a college campus, right? That's why I love this group setting here. I never want to work solo again. I hate hearing myself consistently, which is why I try to cap my talking to about 2 minutes per bullet.
The one thing about us, we're local. And even though we were owned by a corporation, we're local. And local, so we get to, you know, it's Greg Stocker's cut sheet. Nobody tells Greg Stocker what to put on his cut sheet. Nobody tells Nick Cale what to write every day for his big take. And so at the corporate level, the ABCs, CBS, the so-called legacy television news, the bean counters, unfortunately, they're the ones that wag the dog. In other words, once that became corporate run and you see all of their websites look the same, they all align. That, to me, was the unfortunate part of media in America, that it's no longer just a locally run station entity.
Correct. Run. Not ran. Corporate run. I'm actually writing this down. I swear to God, corporate run. There you go. All right. What's on Greg Stocker's Never Woo. Influenced by Corporate Bigwigs
Never.
Cut Sheet?
Never.
We will find out together next here on Kale & Company.
Got to talk about my guys, Marvin E. Cans. If you're looking for somebody that you can count on, who you trust, I trust Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning. They got us ready for winter last year, got us ready, and now for spring heading into summer with all this crazy weather. Marvin E. Cans is who I count on. Third generation owned, veteran, military veteran founded company. Here's the thing. If you live in an older suburban home, consider a ductless unit from Mitsubishi Electric Heating and Air Conditioning. Mitsubishi Electric is a terrific solution for a home, especially if you lack that important ductwork. Could provide up to $2,000 in tax savings. So a couple weeks ago, they installed the unit. It is silent, and it is a beautiful thing for our office that we're renovating and redoing. And so I highly recommend Marvin E. Cans and get it for yourself, the Mitsubishi Electric Heating and Air Conditioning System. Just contact my guys, Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning, Marvin E. KANZE.com. Marvin E. Cans, tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Kale & Company, as we continue with Greg Stocker's two Tuesday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Tuesday? Sponsored by Rita's Italian Ice. Your favorite soda just got a cool new twist. New Cola Ice is now at Rita's. Try the new Twisted Cola Blender Drink Top with Cocoa Lime Cream or dig into the Cola Gelati. Stop by Rita's and grab Cola treats before they are gone. Be cool, eat at Rita's. Be cool, eat at Rita's. I will always sing there.
Even Rita's advertising with us. How about that? Going back to our last segment.
Well, I said that. I said a lot of these, you know, big companies, these big businesses that were, you know, I'm not saying it was Rita's, but Staples, all these places that, you know, they're, it's like, come on in, the water's fine.
Yeah.
Our listeners are very loyal. You know what I mean? Like, they'll go to Rita's.
Yeah. You want to move product?
Yeah.
Advertise with us. That's simple.
22, Phil. Yesterday, there was a lot happening in the White House yesterday, which you'll get to with a special guest at 9:30. But President Trump signed an executive order banning federal funding, for gain-of-function research.
God, I love this. Oh, I love this.
Roll it.
The first relates to gain-of-function research. Gain-of-function research is a type of biomedical research where pathogens are adulterated, viruses are adulterated to make them more potent or to change the way that they function. Many people believe that gain-of-function research was one of the key causes of the COVID pandemic that struck us in the last decade. What this executive order does, first of all, it provides powerful new tools to enforce the ban on federal funding for gain-of-function research abroad. It also strengthens other oversight mechanisms related to that issue and creates an overarching strategy to ensure that biomedical research in general is being conducted safely and in a way that ultimately protects human health more.
It's a big deal. Could have been that we wouldn't have had the problem we had.
A lot of people say that, sir.
If we had this done earlier. Thank you.
When I saw this yesterday, I fist pumped at the dining room table. My wife said, "What are you doing over there?" I'm like, "Trump just ended gain of function research." Of course, she has no idea what that is. But I mean, there have been so many people highly respected in their field, including Dr. Robert Redfield, that said this is very, very dangerous. It's not necessary. We are rolling the dice. But again, if Tony Fauci said, oh, it's absolutely necessary, these are the things we need to do so we can stay ahead of the viruses and have vaccines ready at the snap of a finger, which is interesting. How long did it take for the vaccine to roll out after COVID was created? What, 15 months?
I got to say, I'm going to throw the punch bowl here. Yes. I agree. I agree with the gain of function aspect of the COVID thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of good data. There's a lot of good studies. There's a lot of good things that come from gain of function. The problem is that you have scientists or whatever in labs saying like, ooh, what's the next plague that could kill us? Let's tinker with this. So we have to be very careful. And there was a guy a couple weeks ago that said the exact same thing that I'm saying right now, is that you have to be able to differentiate between gain of function, which is very, very beneficial to diseases and stuff that, you know, that we could possibly find a cure for, and what happened at the COVID lab.
My big beef with all of it is,
so it shouldn't just be a blanket thing. That's what I'm saying with this.
Yeah, generally speaking, I agree with you. I think the thing that concerns me the most is that we hear about these people that this is really what I go back to when I say they got everything wrong with COVID. Like when COVID broke out in this country or across the planet, those in the infectious diseases category, airborne illnesses, respiratory viruses, this was like their Super Bowl, right? You never want to actually hope that this occurs, but when it happens, you've been dedicating your life to science or whatever you want to call it. Some of them just lining their pockets from big funding with big pharma, and they got everything wrong. So look, if gain of function research to some degree is still necessary, but you have to do it in a very responsible way, I can live with that. What I can't live with is, well, there was a spillover, and for some reason the scientists got it on their coat, and then they went home, and then they contaminated, and then it sets off the snowball domino effect. That's what drove me nuts, on top of the fact that they got everything wrong. They either got everything wrong, or they lied to us, or a combination of the both. I just never want to have to live through that again. And when I hear all this fear porn about the bird flu, my gut feeling is not only are they going to make the same mistakes they made for COVID, they're going to run the same playbook back. Masks, social distancing, lockdowns, 25% capacity, get it under control, flatten the curve. We're going to hear all the same minutiae again. And some of it we found out was just made up on the fly. Mm-hmm. Social distancing, it just emerged. It just popped out of nowhere. It's like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, right? It just emerged. Really? That's science?
But I will say the reason. So let me just ask you something. They weren't supposed to be able to do what they did. And so they found a loophole. And that's, to my understanding, that's why the NIH, it was all sort of sneaky and on the down low that they were funding something out of a lab in Wuhan, which just appears to me that what they did was they weren't allowed to do it already. And so they said, well, we got this little, you know, we'll go with our Chinese partners and we'll find a back door to fund something out of Wuhan, and we'll still do what we want to do. And maybe if they had just been more transparent about it and fully controlled it rather than farm out. Basically, this was farming out a project that was really important.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question is, somebody's in the years to come, maybe they'll be good for now on their best behavior, but somebody's going to find another back door and somebody's, so it's just going to happen again. And so the debate may be, if you're going to do this gain of function stuff, maybe you should do it. You know, it's the old saying, do it yourself, control it fully, because at the end of the day, it's going to happen, and they're just going to find another back door.
Mm-hmm.
And the back door approach is never good.
I agree.
Because it's not fully buttoned up.
That's right.
You're going to do it yourself, do it right, control it 100%.
Jimmy, you might want to clip that. The back door approach is never fully buttoned up. Sorry. I just threw the show into the gutter for a moment. But no, you're totally right. And what really I despised during the pandemic was the restriction on speech. Not, and of course against us and on social media, you know, being of the temerity to challenge conventional wisdom and say, "Well, wait a minute. What do I really need this vaccine? Does this mask really work?" But also the shunning of guys like Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. The guy that was over here, was it at St. Joseph's that got flagged? He was like 70 years. He was tenured on his way to retirement. You know, Dr. Robert, you can put Redfield's resume right next to Tony Fauci's side by side, as qualified, if not better. And he was even labeled off his rocker. And he, well, he's a pro-Trump CDC NIH guy. I'm like, no, I mean, there's doctors disagree all the time. You know, I might tear a tendon in my wrist golfing. I go see practitioner A. He says, let's do some physical therapy. Practitioner B, if I seek a second opinion, might say, well, why don't we do a minimally invasive surgery? Doctors all have varying degrees and opinions on certain things. You could seek out four opinions for one issue. But for some reason, with Big Pharma during the pandemic, only one voice was allowed. And that was what Fauci said. He was the gospel. He got it wrong.
RFK Jr. spoke on this with the gain of function. Cut seven, Phil.
Bobby Kennedy, here we go. Been a while since we've heard RFK. A lot of victories, but he hasn't been talking a lot.
Mr. President, a gain of function is an historic day. The end of gain of function research funding by the federal government and also controls by private corporations on gain of function studies. This was the kind of study that was engaged in by the United States military and intelligence agencies beginning in 1947. By 1969, the CIA said that they had reached nuclear equivalency, that they could kill the entire U.S. population for 29 cents a person. That year, President Nixon went to Fort Detrick and announced a unilateral end to this kind of research, what they call dual-use research, research that was for vaccination and also for military purposes. He He then persuaded over 180 countries to sign the bioweapons charter in 1973. That basically ended gain-of-function research around the globe until 2002. Or 2001, after the anthrax attacks, we passed the Patriot Act, and the Patriot Act had a provision, a little known provision in it, that said that although the bioweapons charter is still in effect, and the Geneva Convention is still in effect, U.S. federal officials who violate it cannot be prosecuted. And that relaunched a bioweapons arms race, and that was driven by gain-of-function research. In 2014, three of those bugs escaped from U.S. labs, and President Obama declared a moratorium on future use, and instead a lot of that research was moved offshore to the Wuhan lab. It launched bioweapons arms race all around the country, all around the world, so that China's engaged in it, developing all kinds of weapons using AI and CRISPR technologies that are really devastating. Russia is deeply engaged in it, Iran and many other countries. It's a kind of weapon that always has blowback. There's always bad news. And the justification for this kind of weaponry was, and these kind of research, was always that we have to do this, develop vaccines to counter a future pandemic. In all of the history of gain-of-function research, we can't point to a single good thing that's come from it. And today, I commend President Trump for his courage and his vision in ending U.S. bioweapons research.
You know, if you're watching that clip on YouTube right there, Trump is sitting at the perfect angle to elbow RFK right in the nuts and say, "That's enough, Bobby. We've heard enough of you." But like, we always see these tweets, right? Prosecute Fauci, prosecute Fauci. Can't prosecute him. He's got immunity, right? And that's been that way for almost a quarter of a century. You heard their RFK say in 2002 that protection was granted for those that are in this industry. Seems to me like that's wrong. It shouldn't be that way, but that is some of the protection that pharma and these people are granted. Although I will say, and this is a little good nugget for Stensland, for you tonight with Maha. Yesterday, Bobby Kennedy said that Tyson Foods will be eliminating petroleum-based dyes from its food products by the end of this month. So if you're a Tyson chicken tender, Tyson chicken nuggets, all the poultry that Tyson does, one step closer to healthier.
Also, let's be a little wary of Bobby Kennedy's statistics, because it's been proven that a lot of the BS that he spews out, the stats are wildly inaccurate.
I thought the protection was before 2002, to be honest. I thought that was like a late 80s, early 90s thing when a lot of this pharmaceutical advertising went crazy. He says 02. I don't know. I don't know the specifics.
But the bottom line, in general, I would say, is that it's almost like having teenagers in your home. You know that they're going to try to. Then that's what these scientists are like worldwide and in this country, and not that they're trying to be bad, but it's just they're going to. You know, these scientists, they crave to explore all of this, even though you might question their motives.
Right.
They claim that what they're doing is, by getting ahead of these things, that they're trying to understand them. But then the problem is, you think about greed in the world, and you think about the fact that China also is the producer of all of our pharmaceuticals.
Right.
And so then you can just, to me personally, just looking at this as, you know, a citizen on the outside, to say, people might be motivated, for example, to, if you get wealthy off of pharmaceuticals,
sure,
then you can create a situation whereby you forever need those pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, I think what people really want here, and the four underlying themes of any of these conversations that we're having on a subject like this, is the freedom to pick and choose what you want to put in your body. You can call out the greed of big pharma. You're also capable and allowed, and you should be willing to talk about the transparency or lack thereof with this industry. And then the immunity. Nobody else is immune to anything in this world. You can be hit with a slander lawsuit, libel, defamation, charged criminally, charged civilly, for almost anything under the sun. But these people get to operate with impunity? It's just outrageous.
Crow talking, it says, Greg Stocker sounds like a pro-jabber. No, moron. I just do my research, and I don't just believe what anybody tells me, hook, line, and sinker. So that's all I'm saying, is that I don't care who the person saying it is. I will always do my own research on it to see if it's BS or not, because everybody has an agenda. I hate to tell you. Everybody has an agenda.
Yeah, and we all should. I mean, you shouldn't. So don't take our word for it. You know, look, you know, take a moment, look things up. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I think that's important.
But Bobby Kennedy says it's all must be true. Okay.
I think there's a piece of this whereby, you know, you talk about Tyson Foods. Well, why did it take this for PepsiCo or Tyson Foods to say, oh, we're going to reformulate. We're going to. Well, why didn't you do that before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This couldn't have been news to you. And so there's a piece of this where, you know, you, and that's why we go back to the mom and pops of the world. I mean, there's a piece of this where you think to yourself, well, where's the morality? Where's the just goodness?
Well, because I mean, before it was just some people calling them out on a podcast or on a random interview on television or a TV hit. But now that, you know, the Trump administration has the power from top to bottom, right? They got the White House, they got the Senate, they've got Congress, they've got the Supreme Court, they've got Democrats that are now Republicans. Now Bobby Kennedy actually has a legitimate platform. These companies are now all of a sudden sanctimonious and, you know, upstanding corporations that care. I mean, we've covered it. Healthy Americans is not profitable for big food and big pharma. It's just not. So they're jumping on a bandwagon is what they're doing. No different than some of these corporate advertisers that now want to advertise with a Tucker Carlson or a Joe Rogan. They don't really want to, but they see where the trend is going, so they jump aboard like the frauds that they are.
RFK Jr. also, this from this clip, and let me play, because maybe I'm mistaken, because headlines, again, because I don't believe, I don't swallow everything everybody tells me. Headlines can be misleading. Does it sound like RFK Jr. wants to put people with autism in a database? Roll this on Cut 29, Phil. I want to see how you guys feel of this. Cut 29, go.
The Democrats are saying now that you're trying to create a database of autism patients to track them and to watch them, and they're using that as a real inflection point in this very critical debate about why we have so much autism in the United States. Your reaction or response to that charge?
Well, you know, one of the problems that we've had at CDC and NIH and FDA has been a kind of data chaos, and particularly around the issue of autism, where they don't even, they don't, not only do they not understand, they can't tell us the etiology, the origins of why are we having an epidemic. But they deny an epidemic exists. And even though every year the numbers go up, we've gone in 1 in 10,000 in 1970, to 1 in every 31 kids today. In California, which has the best database, is 1 in every 20 children, 1 in every 12.5 boys. This is an existential disease. Every other disease like this has a registry, so that, and it's voluntary. The public health officials can monitor the numbers. It's not private information. It's not information that is going to go out to other agencies. It's a voluntary system where your privacy is protected. Just a system for keeping track of a disease that is now becoming debilitating to the American people.
Well, we need that. We need that for COVID vaccine injuries, all of this. Mr. Secretary, you're tackling a lot at the same time.
Well, it does sound like we want to put kids with autism and people with autism on a registry.
All right. So three things here. As far as the numbers go, I don't know if those are accurate, but I do believe the trend that they've gone up, right? Has it gone from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 31?
Because diagnosis has gotten better.
Right.
Because diagnosis has gotten better, and the term autism has broadened, the spectrum has broadened, so more people have it because the term has evolved.
If it's voluntary and you're willing to do it, knock yourself out. Me, personally, database surveillance is a no-no. I don't want the government surveilling anything I do, even though I know they do, even though I know they could be, in theory, listening on my phone. We've got more cameras up on street corners and at stoplights for people that get falsely accused of running through a stop sign by a school bus. Paid that $300 fine, by the way, on Saturday.
Congratulations.
So we're good to go. No points, no arrest, no license suspension for all of the legal experts that exist on X. But I am on board with understanding why there might be a rise in this. I don't want any government database surveillance, even though I know they exist for other things. So I'm going to be consistent here. You know, the people that are getting outraged on the left, oh my God, Elon Musk is going to have access to my Social Security information through the Social Security Administration. They already do. He's not going to take your money. He's a bazillion. He's the wealthiest man on the planet. He's not going to take your $72,000 a year that you make. Stop panicking. If you're trying to understand why the ideology is what it is, and if there is an increase, I've got that. I'm on board with that. But any sort of mandatory database surveillance, no. I'm a small government to no government kind of guy. Stay away from me.
I will say that, you know, there was I think it was HHS. There were different government entities that clarified this and said they want to create this real world, like a data platform that everybody can plug into if they want to, but it's not.
What could possibly go wrong with that?
You
know them. You know, like, I know everybody. You know, I know the talking point, and Nick, you just said it, is that Elon Musk and those guys don't want your money. They don't want to steal your identity or whatever it is to get your money. Agreed. But what's more valuable than any of that is your data, your information. That's what everybody's trying to harvest. Mm-hmm. That's what everybody's trying to do. And by whatever means they need to get it, they will get it.
Right.
So,
well,
so
under greed.
It's not about, you know, Elon Musk going in there and stealing your Social Security number to access your bank account or whatever. No, of course that's not happening.
Right.
But I'm just saying there's these big businesses, these big industries that want your information. They want your data.
Oh, yeah.
That's more valuable than anything.
Yes. And we see it in every walk of life.
And we voluntarily give it to everybody.
Oh, I know.
Everybody.
Yeah. You sign up. You go to Kohl's.
Yes.
You got a Kohl's card?
Yes.
You got a VIP rewards?
Yep.
You want to put in a phone number?
Yeah.
Can you give me your email address? Right. And then, like, when you're just browsing websites, I'll go from Fox News to CBSSports.com. And what do I get? Golf ads. Why? Because 3 days ago, I went down a rabbit hole for 90 minutes online where I was looking at golf clubs for sale on golfgalaxy.com. They are surveilling you with spyware and malware and adware. It's all about data and information, right? The more they know, the more that they can target you to boost their profits.
So HHS, there's a $50 million, this is new, a $50 million research effort that is already existing, that's already underway. And so the NIH, National Institutes of Health, they're working on a comprehensive federal database of patient records to study autism and chronic disease. And by the way, this is Jay Bhattacharya confirmed that they're exploring opportunities to work with other government agencies, Medicare, Medicaid services, the CDC, Department of Veteran Affairs, Department of Defense, to try to put together a data set. So they want to create this huge, to Greg's point, this is going to trigger Greg, this huge database using, so let's say you get Medicaid or you get Medicare and you say, hey, would you opt into a study? Now I don't know if they have your name or your DOB. I don't know how aggressive that is with all of your information, but this is going on as we speak.
Yeah. I mean, where do you think the companies like Amazon make all their money? It's not from the cheap crap.
Your data.
It's not from the cheap crap we buy from them. It's the data they've harvested
Greg,
from us for years.
Every
and
time
we give
you
it to
go
them.
On like TikTok or Apple, when you sign on, like agree, and nobody reads all that stuff.
No, that's what I'm saying.
We're agreeing.
Yes, we've given it all to them.
We've given away our rights.
Yes, 100%. So that's why when everybody's like, oh my God, this, you know, the government is you know, they're going to have all this information on us and access to us. They already do because we voluntarily gave it to them.
I almost, because in a weird way, it's almost like the left, and I'm going to use the example I just gave with, oh my God, Elon Musk, how dare you? I don't want you having my Social Security Administration information. It's almost like the left is late to the party of the government gaining all of this information. I got news for you. For all of you lefties out there that used to love Elon for climate change and the environment and Teslas, and now that he can go into your social... this is what people right of center that want the government out of their life, or those that are libertarian in their beliefs, have been saying for decades. You're late to the party here in 2025, and your outrage is misguided on something that really does not have any merit to what you're talking about. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't care about your money.
By the way,
By
the way, for everybody saying that I'm hating on Bobby Kennedy, I'm not hating on Bobby Kennedy. I do think that him, you know, shining a spotlight on the crap that we ingest in our bodies every day, I think is great. All I'm saying is that his facts have been a little off. So all I'm saying is that when anybody, anywhere, no matter who the source is, even us, tells you something, just do your own research on it. That's all I'm saying.
So people are now riding and dying and defending Bobby on everything. This is the same base that before he became a Republican, you might have agreed with him on two or three things and thought he was wrong 70% of the time.
Michelle Obama. Let's get to something we all agree on. Michelle Obama is awful. Michelle Obama, on her podcast, says that it's very expensive to live in the White House. Just like an average folk. She's just like...
Expensive to live in the White House.
Listen to this. Roll this.
It's expensive to live in the White House. Many people don't know. Oh. I mean, much is not covered. You're paying for every bit of food that you eat. You're not paying for housing and the staff in it, but everything, even travel. If you're not traveling with the president, if your kids are coming on a Bright Star, which is the first lady's plane, we had to pay for their travel on the plane. It is an expensive proposition, and you're running for 2 years and not earning an income. So all of that was in my mind. Oh. How would we manage this? My fears came from the fact that I thought he could win, but I knew he had it in him to make this happen.
Oh, by the way, what a negative, miserable person.
Little clip to TikTok people. You don't need to add the music. Like her, what she's saying is stupid enough that you don't need to add the stupid music.
Yeah. Thank you. How many homes do the Obamas own?
Well, they're selling Martha's Vineyard. 39 mil.
So nice. Yeah. So you're selling a home for $39 million and you're telling me about your day-to-day expenses as the first lady? Yeah, I mean, this lady was propped up for the last 17 years in American culture and folklore. She was like, you know, Mother Teresa to Barack Obama. She is an entitled, spoiled, elitist, no talent, overrated first lady. That's right, I said it. Write those headlines. Overrated and entitled. Oh, my God. I had to, when I brought people on the first lady's jet that came out of our pocket. Oh, does the $400,000 a year that you get to be the president, is that tax-free? What else do you, how is it that people walk into, see, this is where they lose people. This is where you lose, no matter what side you're on politically. When you go into politics with 14 cents in your pocket and walk out with a home that you can put on the market for $39 million, you wonder why people want to stop insider trading. You wonder why people want to stop having congressmen and women and lawmakers be not able to participate in the stock market. $39 million and you're crying on your podcast about some expenditures? I'm going to cry about my gas going out to Phoenixville tonight. How about that, Michelle?
Yeah, Phoenixville, not close, by the way.
Although it's closer for me from Bluebell, so I actually love the fact that we're going out that way.
Yes, Montgomery County.
Yeah, keep going out that way. We've done enough in Bucks. We've done enough in Jersey. Monco.
Now, Jersey complained we don't give them enough love.
The first three politics and pints were in New Jersey, right? Yep. Don Jr.'s book signing. Mm-hmm. The other two.
That was good.
Anyway. I know they're out there, though. I just can't think of the name.
Six. Phil. Trump, you talked about this in your big take this morning. Trump on paying illegals to self-deport. He spoke about that yesterday. Wrote this.
What we thought we'd do is a self-deport, where we're going to pay each one a certain amount of money, and we're going to get them a beautiful flight back to where they came from, and they have a period of time. And if they make it, we're going to work with them so that maybe someday, with a little work, they can come back in if they're good people, if they're the kind of people that we want in our company, industrious people that could love our country. And if they're not, they won't. But it will give them a path to becoming, you know, to coming back into the country. if they miss that limit, they're going to be taken out of our country, and they will never get a path to come back in, and it'll be a much tougher process. And it's called self-deportation. And by doing that, you know, you're talking about so many millions of people.
When I saw this headline yesterday, before I actually found the specifics on the dollar amounts, I was actually a little triggered by this, because I'm not paying for you to leave here on a chartered flight after you came here illegally. But some of the math, I think I played you the clip in the Big Take of Bill Malusian from Fox News. It would be roughly $17,000 for arrests, deportations, court dates, and everything else versus this, which is about $4,500. So it would technically, if the math is correct, would save you about $13,500. And then Stephen Miller, he's really good, I got to tell you. He's a little robotic and he's a little nerdy, but man, he can rip off some numbers and go through the talking points like anybody. He said that this would save roughly $1 million per illegal alien family over the course of their life being here, which, of course, all the freebies that come with it, you know, free welfare, health care, all that other stuff.
Tom Holman expanded on this program. Roll it.
I think people are finally getting the message. If you leave on your own, you can take advantage of legal programs, come back. But we have to go through the process of form deporting you. There are mandatory bars against you for up to 20 years, sometimes forever. So, you know, if you want to take advantage, come back as a worker, a tourist visa, a visitor's visa, a student visa, or have a U.S. citizen child if you have one, petition for you in the future. Leave yourself open to the opportunity of legal entry. Do things the right way. There's millions of people standing in line right now doing things the right way. Taking the test, doing the background investigations, paying their fees. They're sitting in the back seat while millions of people are allowed in this country under the Biden administration that simply don't qualify for asylum. Most of them will lose that asylum claim. So while they're clogging up the whole system, in addition to those who want to come in legally, while the fraudulent millions of fraudulent asylum claims under the Biden administration, there are people in this world who really are escaping fear and persecution from the homeland. But they're sitting in the back seat too, because millions of people cheated the system, come across the border and released in the United States. That caused a significant backlog in immigration court. And that wasn't by accident, it's by design. Let's just overwhelm the system. So it takes 5, 7, 9 years to go through the whole process if they take, advantage of the appeals process. They know exactly what they're doing. That's why they weren't in ICE detention. In ICE detention, they get a hearing within 35 days. But if we release millions of the country, overwhelm the system so they don't get a hearing in 5, 7, 9 years, then maybe there's a Democrat administration in power. Mm. Now we can have an amnesty. They know exactly what they're doing. They're playing the long game. But we're going to beat them at. We're going to ramp up interior enforcement operations and removals. We're going to force the law. We're not going to ignore the law like the prior administration did.
The appeals process. You do this for 5, 7, 9, 11 years. You get all of your due process that the media is so infatuated with for illegal aliens. Lebo is one of our great tweeters. He says on Twitter, at Inspector Lee 1, Pelosi, Schumer, Biden, and the rest of the Democrats should be billed for the cost of self-deportation. Hear, hear. I second that.
We should take a break and then come back and do, I have a ton more, including the attorney from Carmelo Anthony. Remember the Austin Metcalf, Carmelo Anthony story that we talked about a couple weeks ago, the stabbing at the track meet there. The lawyer is upset that Austin Metcalf's father showed up to the hearing. So he spoke out. Plus more from Trump and Roger Goodell. We have all of that on the other side.
8 o'clock hour brought to you by Staples. Your local Staples has hot deals and super low prices throughout the store on everything for your business. And right now at Staples, save up to $250 off your print order. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details. And 614 plus. Save even more with the Easy Rewards program at Staples. First, a word from our friends at Piazza Auto Group, and we're talking about the flagship brand for Piazza, and that would be Honda. You all know that I have a Honda Ridgeline truck from my friends at Piazza Honda, but the great values, the great vehicles, it doesn't start or stop with the Ridgeline. Right now, you can lease the popular 2025 Civic and the HR-V, both starting at $249 per month. The Civic, a little bit smaller than the Accord if you're looking for better fuel efficiency, offers sporty performance with the all-wheel drive HRV. That will provide you versatility, which is needed for every drive, perhaps in that rain this morning. That's a new 2025 Civic or the HRV. Both are only $249 per month for 36 months. This offer won't last long, so visit Piazza Honda of Philadelphia, Langhorne, Pottstown, Reading, or Springfield today. And you can shop online at PiazzaHonda.com. Leases with $29.99 down plus tax and tags at 10,000 miles per year for well-qualified buyers. See dealer for details.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
There are a lot of junk fees out there, all these different charges. You know, you go to a restaurant, you've got your total, then you've got your suggested gratuity, and then there's these other like fees that are just tacked on. I'm tired of being nickel and dimed and feed to death. Who's with me here? We're going to revolt against the fees. Where's
Good
Joe
luck with
at?
That.
Where's Joe? And where's Jackie? And where's the rest of this cut sheet?
Gavin Newsom. We played a little bit of the BBC thing yesterday, but the part I didn't play was where he said, "This is 20 that we have to understand why the Democrats got crushed and lost the popular vote as well as the electoral vote."
Well, how much time do you have, Gavin?
He's still trying to figure it out. Roll this.
We lost. We lost the popular vote, and we lost the electoral vote. We got crushed. And we need to be humble about that, and we need to have some grace, and we need to understand why. Was it because of the incumbency penalty? Was it because of inflation? Was it because of interest rates? Was it because of immigration? Was it because we were too, quote-unquote, woke? Was it because of the issues with Israel? Was it all of the above? I think we are going through that forensic. We need to understand. At the same time, we also have to push back against the whitewaters and headwinds of the Trump administration.
I mean,
leave this something very important.
I hate his hand gestures. I'm sorry.
I hate everything about him. I hate his voice, his hair, the look, the oblivious nature, the phoniness, like taking a phone call when a mom is sitting there in Pacific Palisades watching her neighborhood burn down. I don't have a signal. I can't. I'm trying to call Joe. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All of the above, Gavin, and then some. All of the above, and then some. They know why they lost. They know. He is really trying to position himself not as a centrist, not as a moderate, but back towards, you know, an old school liberal. And I don't think anybody should take the bait. I think he is exactly what we think of when we think about politicians and their flip flopping. He is a progressive. He was all in. I mean, it's where it all emanates from. It all starts in his state and then works its way this way.
Yeah, I don't believe the whole doing this podcast because, you know, he just wants to reach out and hear from the other side. And he thinks it's dialogue and conversation. By the way, I'm all for that. I just don't believe that is his intention in this.
Sure.
I think his intention more is to kind of get away from, Nick, what you were just saying, those bad moments of him and what people remember him as, and all the crap that California has gone through. It's a rehab tour. He's rehabbing his image that if Charlie Kirk and all of these influencers like him, or, you know, sit down and be like, you know what, he's not that bad of a guy. You know what I mean? Like he can then rehab his image to all of their viewers.
Yeah. He's trying to abandon the left-wing, woke, progressive playbook and fancy himself as more of a common sense Democrat, and I don't think anybody's going to believe him.
By the way, we played this earlier this morning at like 6 o'clock. Phil, if you have the B-roll footage that I asked you to get for the Seattle, for what happened in Seattle, the University of Washington, Antifa, you can just roll it. Antifa came and is protesting, set fires. The cops were out there. University of Washington, they're allegedly the protesting Free Palestine and Gaza. Yeah.
As they're dressed like the Foot Clan from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Black hoods, goggles, red scarf around the neck. I mean, they look like a gang from, you know, some animated superhero movie.
Yeah.
And you know none of them, or very few of them, are actual students at the University of Washington. You can actually see right there, it says Free Palestine on the building.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that a light up projection or is that spray paint?
My question.
A lot of times they're light up projections. That's what they did at UPenn locally.
Okay.
My question for this is why does it seem like the cops are kind of retreating in this video? Mm-hmm. It doesn't. I mean, it's not. I don't know if they're retreating or if they're just allowing them to march because, you know, the cops have to be careful about their First Amendment rights and, you know, their right to protest, but also, mm-hmm. you know, want to keep an eye on the situation. So they don't want to escalate the situation, I guess. But it does seem like they're retreating in that, doesn't it?
Yes. But, you know, you're right. Your right to free speech, your right to protest. Look, they could stay there as long as they want until they're told to leave, you know, private property. But, you're not protected under free speech to light things. I mean, look at the fire there in the alleyway.
Pretty big fire.
It's like a bonfire.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Dawn, you said it, I think, early in the 6 o'clock hour. If your cause is so righteous, why are you concealing your identity?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like when we see all these fake white supremacist videos marching through big cities and they're all covered up with their identity. And you ever notice they're all 6'2", 190 pounds, carved out of stone, not a fatso anywhere, not a slob, not a little short, stumpy dude. It makes you wonder, who do they work for? They all look like military people, don't they? Or trained law enforcement? If so, and here's the thing. Well, there's the Trump supporters. I've never seen a Trump supporter cover their face. Never once. Never once have I seen a MAGA Republican. In fact, they go out of the way to show you their identity. The red hat on, face. So if you think you're in the right, stop concealing your face. What are you so scared of?
A CNBC reporter had Brendan Carr, the FCC commissioner, on yesterday asking about what's happening over there at CBS. This is cut 10, Phil. We know that there's all kinds of lawsuits, Paramount, CBS, 60 Minutes, the whole thing. Roll this.
The FCC has stepped back from enforcing that public interest obligation. I think the FCC should do what Congress wants us to do and enforce those laws. We're going to see where this investigation goes.
So are you threatening to pull their license? Wouldn't that be a pretty drastic step?
Well, it's not a threat. That's a penalty that is in the Communications Act that if you don't...
But when was the last time the FCC pulled a broadcast license?
Yeah, it's been a long time. I think that's part of the issue. If you step back, you know, trust in the national mainstream media is at an absolute low right now. That's not just my view. Jeff Bezos himself did an op-ed where he said that. But what's really interesting is that actually local TV stations have a lot of trust. And so the agenda that I'm trying to run at the FCC is to empower those actual local television stations to serve the public interest. Because what we've seen is you've got national news media, ABC, NBC, CBS, and they're exercising more and more control over those local TV stations. And I don't think that's a good thing for the country. So we're trying to reverse that.
I don't think any network out there is in danger of losing any license. As far as the FCC goes, the only thing I care about is what we're allowed or not allowed to say on these airwaves. I wish Brendan Carr would just update all of the naughty words that you can't say.
Can you
imagine how much better it would be?
Yes.
And it's not like I would be cursing up a storm. But occasionally when I'm fired up and I let one fly, I'd like to have that go out over the airwaves. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take the license of CBS. It's about reining in some of the ridiculous, which, by the way, speaking of CBS and licenses, did you see Kamala Harris's interview on 60 Minutes? That production, that train wreck, that epic distorted representation of what the interview really was nominated for an Emmy Award?
Typical.
Did you guys see that?
Mm-hmm.
This is Paramount Global settled with Trump on that interview. The producer of 60 Minutes, Bill Owens, has since left that role, and that entire production, that sham interview, gets nominated for an Emmy Award? I'm officially out on the Emmys. I'm done with that. And that's just ridiculous.
This is what got you out on the Emmys?
Well, awards in general I'm out on, unless they're congratulating our show.
In NYPD, like, what's happening in New York here? An NYPD officer was attacked by a mob of... what they believe is Trende Aragua illegals in Times Square.
I bet you Larry Bear's talking about this today.
Roll this. 21, Phil. 21, man.
The two officers jump in to try to stop a couple of teen suspects from carrying out an apparent assault. But soon a gang jumps in to try to stop the officers from making the arrests. Video shows the officers being shoved, objects being thrown at them, and then the group flees. Several of the teen suspects in custody, one as young as 12.
Oh, my God.
One flashing gang symbols. The suspects believed to be associated with the notorious TDA gang.
Oh, Tren de Aragua. That is NBC in New York. Mm-hmm. Okay. That was not the Megyn Kelly show. That is NBC in New York saying New York's finest are being assaulted by the same groups of gangs that Trump has designated as terrorists.
And when you hear women and children, mm-hmm. that child is 12 years old who's in a gang. Mm-hmm. F him.
Yeah.
Firing squad for him, too.
Yep.
Well, think about what happened here that we were all told.
Let me do it.
Yeah.
We were all told, to
Please
your
do.
Point, women and children. Oh, it's women and children coming here for a better life. And then we started noticing when we saw the video, which they even tried to sneak people in, remember, at all hours. Mm-hmm. But when we saw the video, yes, there were some families and mommies and daddies and babies and stuff. But mostly, everybody started going, wait a minute. Why are these like, they look like military age. Yeah. Like they all looked about 14 to 25.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it would appear that the cartels were just bringing people in to, you know, do their drug trade, whatever they're doing. The burglary rings. What do we call them? The tourism rings?
Yeah. Yep. On the main line. Yeah. It's ridiculous. I mean, this is the same city where we had, I think that was back in the headlines again in the last 48 hours. The guy that was raped a corpse on the New York subway was actually an illegal alien.
Yep.
Of course, that story was not covered from the perspective of this guy being here illegally. So when I say let's reopen Alcatraz or build something else similar to it, we have enough creeps and awful humans in this country, whether they're gang members, terrorists, or sickos. Brian Kohlberger, remember that story, the Pocono guy? Remember, there's also a story out in central Pennsylvania yesterday from WNEP, which I think is the ABC affiliate in central PA. A guy murdered a female firefighter. Put all of these people in padded cells.
I have that. Yeah, we have that.
That was a Hazleton.
Yeah.
31, Phil. You have 31, the news report on this, since we're going where the news takes us. Roll this.
Discomfort from recent neck surgeries. Investigators say Jessica Lockwood would meet up with Terrence Ray often to buy pain pills, and it actually had been buying pain pills on Saturday, April 26th, to buy some more. Jessica was then found the next day after a passerby on Club 40 Road reported a mannequin on the side of the road lit on fire. When firefighters showed up to the scene, they realized it was in fact not a mannequin, but Jessica's remains. Investigators then executed a search warrant at Ray's home alongside Muir Avenue in Hazleton.
They were able to locate evidence that she had been beaten inside that residence. Some of the things they found included a large pool of blood and a gold stud earring that was actually missing from Lockwood's body. The cause of Miss Lockwood's death was ruled to be blunt force trauma and a gunshot wound. The manner of death through the investigation in cooperation with the coroner's office was determined to be homicide.
The suspect is Terrence Ray, who allegedly shot, killed, and then lit on fire a female firefighter. So the more I thought about it yesterday when I was thinking about Alcatraz, I love this idea. And here's why I want to go through this. So Trump actually, I don't know if we have this clip or not, he called opening up Alcatraz both beautiful and horrifying. He said that those are his words, beautiful and horrifying. So here's what I say we should do, right? We have a bunch of smart people in this administration, right? You got all those Doge kids, you've got Big Balls and all of those young whippersnappers that are crunching numbers all day long. Ask the smart people in government what the cost would be. Is there a demand for it? Do we have the supply as far as these heinous, vile, disgusting scumbags? And what would the cost be to refurbish Rikers Island, make it operational? Not Rikers Island, Alcatraz. Also, would it be cheaper to do it elsewhere? Stocker, you mentioned that earlier before. If we already have one of these facilities. But I just want a prison like we have in El Salvador. And the reason I bring up Alcatraz, it's a mile and a quarter off of the shores of San Francisco. You can't get conjugal visits. Your family can't go see you. You got to get on a ferry to get out there. It is just got this aura to it. It's almost like advertising a deterrent that for the worst offenders out there, this is where you will go. I've got to believe that Bukele in El Salvador, with people knowing about that prison where you're stacked on top like pancakes, that's got to be a deterrent in that country. Not to offend. Not to join MS-13. Not to join Tren de Aragua. So we got all these financial whiz kids. Let's figure out if this makes sense, and let's do it. I'm all in. I want Alcatraz back.
Well, in New York, if you have a if you're a store owner or a business owner and you have a problem, Mayor Eric Adams is installing panic buttons now for stores.
Panic buttons, like the Staples button, the Red Easy button.
God forbid,
like
God,
Trump's Diet Coke button.
God forbid you you carry a gun in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you'll be you'll be thrown in Alcatraz for that.
Mm-hmm.
But don't worry, we have a panic button now. Roll this.
So there will be more security for us.
Elio Soto says he's experienced robberies before.
And the other store we worked before, they get robbed twice.
From robberies to violent incidents, bodega crimes have been a problem for a long time in New York City. But now the city is investing in a solution to help combat the crimes. A $1.6 million initiative, the mayor says.
Panic button that you'll immediately be able to hit. That is going to alarm the police.
Oh, yeah.
It is going to be connected directly to the local precinct.
Great.
Where you do the combination,
as they shoot
you access to the cameras in the store to see what is taking place and how.
Wasn't this dude a cop?
Response.
Yes. Behind us, we have over 100 bodega owners here today. Guys, you don't know what we've been through.
United Bodegas of America spokesperson Fernando Mateo says this is long overdue. He expressed gratitude toward the mayor at a press conference announcing the panic button's cold silent shield.
How about some security? How about some cops that can, you know,
in the
bodegas, bust skulls
to the city and to the NYPD, allowing officers to see crimes unfold in real time and respond faster.
Panic buttons is what's going to save the lives of so many.
Oh, just please.
Of bodega owners and workers, but the lives of so many.
Shut up, Fernando. It ain't going to work, and you know it.
By the way, it's, you know, the only panic button should be the button on a Glock.
You know, instead of putting easy buttons or panic buttons on the counter, why don't they just install machine guns at checkout? Like, you see how this microphone is right in front of me?
Yeah.
Just have a machine gun right there. So the moment anybody comes in with a hood on and a mask, dressed in black hoodies and black sweatpants, that goes to the back to the soda section and then comes up with a semi-automatic gun, just mow them down.
Agreed.
Your panic button. I got a spot for that panic button.
For women especially, who you maybe you worry that you're not trained with a firearm and you think that the gun may be taken away from you and turned on you, the answer in general for me would be, if I'm one of those bodega owners, get a dog, a big dog, a well-trained dog, and have that dog sitting quietly. You see a lot of more and more store owners will do this.
Sure.
Because a dog is a great deterrent. For a lot of these criminals, believe it or not, mm-hmm. they will just pass by your particular business.
Get yourself a nice big German Shepherd, put him on a chain right at the front of that door, and then have PETA complain that it's inhumane.
No, I would never
chain any dog or a German Shepherd, but I'm just saying have that dog right there.
I love dogs. I think they're man's best friend.
You don't want to subject them to those scumbags?
I think they're better than humans.
Yep.
I would much rather have a dog than a best friend. Human best friend,
aww.
I mean. But I don't think even a situation like that is going to deter these thugs. You need somebody with experience who's going to put one right between their eyes if they come into the bodega and mess with you. That's what they need. That's what these people. That's the only repercussion for these people. It's the only form of justice. It's the only form of talking that they understand is violence, because they're all violent criminal thugs. And they only respond to that. That's all they know.
What about the sign on the door that says "Beware of Dog"?
No, nothing like that works.
I'm sorry, it doesn't. On people's fences.
It works in our cushy suburb homes. It's not going to work in New York City or Philadelphia, West Philadelphia. It's just not because people need a Smith & Wesson right between the eyes to get the message.
Well, I'm sorry to say it, but it's true.
Right.
How can anybody with a functional brain feel bad or vilify these bodega owners for taking the law into their own hands to defend themselves when we have police that have been defunded, we have prosecutors and district attorneys that embolden criminals, we have politicians that run on campaigns to give people 45 get-out-of-jail-for-free cards. These criminals, say what you want about them, but they understand the landscape and the way the atmosphere is. They know they're going to get every benefit under the sun and every break known to man.
Yeah, instead of Eric Adams and Sherelle Parker and Kenny doing all of this, you know, panic buttons and this, that, and the other, enforce the freaking laws. The end.
Well, that's why I have no respect for Eric Adams or Jennifer Griffin. I don't understand how any of these people leave law enforcement and then become anti-law enforcement in their next profession.
It's gross.
It's embarrassing to people. I mean, you know, I've never been a cop. I've had cops in my family. I would think, and I'm just guessing here, if I'm wrong, call me out, 855-839-1210. I would think that if anybody in this audience is still in law enforcement, they have lost all respect for anybody, whether it's vice president of a university or head of safety and security at Temple or being a politician. I mean, you're going against your professional DNA. You're going against what kind of got you into that line of work. You didn't become a cop for the salary. You wanted to uphold law and order and protect citizens and be a good Samaritan. And then these people go into office and they just strip away your morality. I'll tell you, if I was a cop, and I could have been one, I got a criminal justice degree, I've got the whole history of my family, I could have went to the academy, didn't want to do it. But there is no way if I did, in 2006 when I graduated college, that in 2025, after what cops have had to deal with for the last 5 years, because of lowlifes like Al Sharpton and George Floyd, there's no way I would continue doing that job. I would have cashed out. If I was eligible for retirement, I would have been gone.
The bottom line is that violence like this, the only thing that these predators understand is violence.
Yep.
And so if you come out and say, hey, we're saying in the city of New York, you point a gun at a bodega owner, any business owner, any woman, man, child, guess what? They're allowed to stand their ground.
Yep.
And if they're allowed to have a Second Amendment right to defend themselves, and they can shoot you and kill you because you have threatened their rights. If they do that, they shut it down. The fact that and by the way, the police have the right to use maximum deadly force against you. So those nut jobs that are there doing that to the police that you just showed the video, if they were just shot or tased or whatever, that would end it.
Yeah.
That would end it right now.
I know. It's so disheartening having to watch a cop on camera backpedal.
Zero tolerance.
And then resort to a taser.
No.
Only after giving 9 warnings with a guy with a knife.
Zero tolerance. And until we do that, but see, we're all soft. Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah.
Well, we have to. Oh, well, they're children. They're underage. If you shut it down, then you save lives.
Yep.
But until that moment, this nonsense will exist. Same thing on the West Coast with these masked nut jobs on campuses that think that they're allowed to burn everything up.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. You tase them, you know, shoot them with mace, whatever you're going to do, and then threaten, just say, all right, we tased you. That's it. Next time we shoot a firearm at you.
Yep.
They will absolutely, it will be over.
Well, even
in 10 seconds.
Even if you pull your gun on them, they will run. Everybody's tough when they have a gun. And then when somebody else pulls out the gun, whoa. Yeah, okay, all right. Not fun when the rabbit has a gun, is it? 855-839-1210. We will continue with Stocker's never-ending cut sheet. Also, Trey Wallace from Outkick at 9:30. And then also, in regards to Alcatraz, I had this conversation with my wife yesterday. If we have time, we'll get into it today. I actually think I can swim from Alcatraz back to the bay.
No, you for God's sake, you absolutely cannot. What is wrong with you?
I believe
that. Stop. Water.
Wholeheartedly. Stop.
Okay.
Wholeheartedly.
Okay.
Yeah, we could debate that later if you'd like. It's Kale and Company, fourth and final hour is up next here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Kitchen Magic. You know, they believe the heart of your home deserves American-made high quality that you can trust. And that's why Kitchen Magic manufactures all of their products right in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. So you will not face any shipping delays. You will not face tariff surprises because they're made right here in the USA. As a local family owned company, they are proud to offer reliable service and custom kitchen remodeling that you can count on. And this month only in May, you're going to enjoy 30% off your dream kitchen, 30% off. This is incredible. Visit kitchenmagic.com. Schedule your free design consultation today. Do this. You're going to love it. KitchenMagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.